At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs, a.k.a. Rick Rude Von Dick Dude, a.k.a. Rick on Von Dick on. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan. Davey, how are you?
Wonderful evening once again, Richard.
It really is.
If I was any better, I'd have to be twins.
Beautiful time of the year, Ryan. It's hashtag yep. Dorktober. The episodes have been going nonstop all month long. Micro dorks. People love the micro dorks.
They do love the micro dorks. Yeah. Wiggy did a surprisingly good job. The content was there, but I didn't really feel like he spent a lot of time on his topic.
Yeah. Yeah, because, well, that might have been more my fault, because I was like, all right, he wants to do From Dusk Till Dawn.
But which is a great topic.
It is. But then I was like, there's so much more to unpack, because every time we'd like talked about it off air, like he had discussed so many other movies. So I'm like, all right, I want to try to get into this.
Yeah.
So I could have unpacked more. I blame myself. But he was like, oh, I could do this even longer. I keep going. I'm like, yeah. All right.
Sorry for my yawning. Good God.
Oh, good start.
Oh, boy. Good start.
Good start. Jesus. Hot and fresh. Yeah. My God.
I forgot where I was for a second. Just yawned right into the microphone.
You need a snooze?
No, like, I'm good. I do. But
Ryan, I have great news, though. This might wake you up. We're on Instagram now.
We are on Instagram. I don't know why we didn't think about it before, but tag teaming the Instagram. I think one of the first things we need to do in terms of our Instagram story is give a crib style tour of our respective offices.
Yeah, that could be good.
Yeah,
that could make sense. That could make a lot of sense.
Yeah, we could do a lot of content here.
There sure is. And if you just go to Instagram or at Dork Podcast, or Instagram, if you're looking for it, just .com/Dork Podcast or whatever, we're on there. We had a soft launch a couple of years ago where we basically just made sure to keep the name. And then we were at one of the Comic-Cons. We had a few pictures.
Yep.
But now it's for reals. Like, now we're actually going to tweet out some content, or gram out some content.
Because now there's ways to do it, you know? So I think I think we'll be good.
Okay.
Good.
Ryan, you ready for the news?
Sure.
Okay. Start with this. Are you watching Watchmen?
I am.
Yes.
I am very much enjoying it. I say that not knowing what the hell is going on yet.
It's pretty crazy, right? There's only two episodes in Sunday night's HBO, and it's Damon Lindelof, which we've talked about. So Lost and The Leftovers. Mm-hmm. So I think you're in pretty good hands anyway. And it's not the book. It's not Watchmen. So if you read the book and loved the book, great, but that's not it. If you saw the movie, liked the movie, hated the movie, didn't care about the movie, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
either.
No.
It's that world, and it's sort of like, all right, these characters exist in it, and we're kind of learning about what other people know about them and things like that, right? Like, you hear about some of them, you see some of them, you referenced some of them, but it's a new batch of characters, which for the most part are all pretty damn sweet.
In a different area of the country. It takes place in Tulsa instead of like New York City. Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And and I'm really intrigued as to where this is going, because everyone uses the word world building, but that's actually what they're doing. Like, they're building thing. And I love that Jeremy Irons, and I don't want to spoil it, but they don't name him, but he is clearly a character from the novel.
No, I thought they did name him. I thought they did.
Did they name him?
I think they did. I think they did, or maybe it's just in my head that they did, but I think that they did name him.
They had his name. They had his name on a newspaper that said he was pronounced dead.
Right, right. As he would be.
And now you just assume that that's who that is. I don't want to give it away, but that you just assume that that's who that is.
And he's up to some interesting shenanigans.
Yeah, and he's kind of lost it a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. I love the Regina King character.
What do they call it? Sister Knight or something?
Sister Knight.
Yeah.
Sister Knight. And then there's another dude, Looking Glass.
Oh, my God. And he's my favorite.
He's really good.
Absolute favorite. I think if I were to live in that world, that would be the character I would love to be.
How does he breathe in that thing? It doesn't look very breathable.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's probably, you know.
Doesn't look breathable to me.
Yeah.
But
and, we have the Red Scare. They do talk about him in Watchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And then you got like a whole army of like Rorschachs. Like there are people that were inspired by Rorschach.
Which is
like kind of KKK-ish. But it's like, it's intense.
It's just that ultra right wing.
Yeah.
Which is what Rorschach was. So
I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a 9-episode season, I want to say.
It's fine.
Odd number.
Fine.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Ryan, The Rise of Skywalker. We actually haven't done a episode since the final trailer. I thought it was good. They didn't really give a whole lot away, which is not really
didn't
need anything.
Yeah.
This comes out right before Christmas. Looking forward to that. It was also announced that it'll be 2 hours and 35 minutes, which I believe makes it the longest Star Wars movie ever.
And that makes it just fine. That is just fine.
I know, because we're used to like long movies now too. Like after watching Endgame and stuff, and your favorite Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
If I'm gonna sit through 2 hours and 45 minutes of that shit, I'm gonna sit through 2 hours and 35 minutes of a Star Wars.
Yeah,
you know.
And this, although, kind of makes or breaks Star Wars. Because as good as Star Wars is, and as popular as it is, and as crazy as the fans are, they've made 10 movies and like half of them are good.
Yep. And did you see, we got more Star Wars news too. Not to step on your funk.
No.
Another trailer for The Mandalorian, which still looks awesome.
This thing looks legit.
Yeah.
Only a couple of weeks away from Disney Plus, by the way.
Yes. And who are the guys from Game of Thrones have now
Weiss
bailed.
And Benioff.
They bailed on Star Wars. They're saying that their Netflix things are taking over.
Please.
And the other bit of news I heard today, Richard, and again, not to step on your funk. We all know that Netflix is just kind of grasping at straws at this point. Like, why are we going to keep Netflix at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And now they are saying, I was reading Judd Apatow was tweeting about how Netflix might make it easier for you to binge faster.
Yes, this is very controversial amongst movie makers. They're doing a thing now where you can actually watch it. It's not a fast forward function, but it's more like, so some people listen to podcasts at 1.5 speed.
Right.
So we sound like a lot faster than we really are. Right. Mm-hmm. But people listen to it that way because they need content. They absorb content. I can't
or
do
they
it
have
that
a
way,
shorter commute and they want to get it done.
That's a good point. They're like, listen, I'm only in the car 10 minutes. I want to listen to the whole podcast. But apparently there's going to be something like that. I guess there's also going to be the other part of it where you can watch it slower for whatever reason. Maybe there's some certain scenes that you might want to watch. Wink, wink.
Just but fast for you.
But the fast forward aspect of it, Ryan, I guess directors are like, well, this is not how it was intended. And they're all pissy. But it's like, isn't it people just watching it?
Like just don't
you want people to watch it?
People are watching your shit.
I would think that's sort of the goal here.
Yeah.
Like if somebody told me like, hey, I listen to Dork on 2x speed and be like, all right. Thanks.
Fine.
Thanks for the listen.
We probably sound like the chipmunks, but that's fine.
Don't care. Do whatever.
Yeah.
You do you.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, Apatow was all fired up about it. Plus, he knows that people would 2x his movies because they're all 3 hours long. And it's like, you got to end the movie. You got to end it.
I'm worried that Judd Apatow is trying to Scorsese this take.
He's jumping in on Scorsese.
We're just shut up, dude. Yeah. Shut up. You make your money regardless. What do you care?
It does not matter. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very weird. That was like, was it Stranger Things? Or there was some director of a show that came out. I think it was on Netflix and it was the same thing. And they were like, make sure you set your TV to the correct format. Like, go on there. And I'm like, I'm just going to watch it as it goes on. Like, I'm not going to scroll through all the different features.
Nope.
Like my TV's set the way I want it set. It looks good to me.
Yep. I fire up the HDR when I'm watching at night, you know?
Yep. I get sports. When I'm watching sports, it's on sports.
It's on spots.
It's on spots. Mm-hmm. My video games are on a certain thing. I don't care. Like, that's it. I'm not going to
Vivid. You go with Vivid for the video games?
Yeah. No, I think I might even have a game one or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ryan, that's all the news that's fit to print. Should we get to your news?
Yeah, let's make it quick.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you have?
So we got, obviously, Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare came out this week. Kind of a rocky launch. People were very upset about the servers being down for most of the time. I myself was upset that I downloaded a 30 gig game and then had to wait for like a 60 gig installation. So like I downloaded it and then all I could play was against like bots for like an hour.
Ugh. How'd you do against the bots?
I'm gross against bots. Like bots don't stand a chance against me. And then I feeling good about myself and I jump into my first multiplayer game that I played in that and went 0-15.
Val.
True story. I'm a little bit better now. We were playing with Shime and Backcracker and Joey Gloucester and Corey and like all those dudes who were playing last night. They had a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
So I'm back, baby.
Good. Good to hear it.
The other news we have is that Death Stranding, this game that I don't think anybody really wants to play, the Kojima game with Norman Reedus where he's like carrying around a baby.
Yeah.
That's coming to PC as well. So yippee. And then the big news. So ESPN actually broke this story and people were tweeting it at us. BlizzCon is coming up, which is Blizzard's annual convention. And they have been getting a lot of negative press lately with their feelings on the Hong Kong situation. I guess they banned one of their players for speaking out about the whole situation.
Yeah.
People were pretty pissed about that. But during their BlizzCon, ESPN announced that they're going to unveil Overwatch 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Wait so, and they already had a drawing of a long rumored character. I don't know.
Do I have to pay for Overwatch 2?
Maybe. Maybe it's just an update where they just like Fortnite did. You know, hopefully they do that.
Yeah. I mean, they've given us enough free stuff, though.
Oh, my God.
I'd pay for another Overwatch.
But the buzz is, if you look at the concept art that they have, there is a new character, long-rumored character called Echo.
Is he a dolphin?
No, not a dolphin. It looks like some sort of support.
Maybe.
Dolphins help us, yeah.
Don't rule out a dolphin. They've saved many a kid.
Yeah.
Elio Gonzalez?
The dolphins didn't save him.
Oh, somebody else. Who's that story? I thought that was right. No?
No, that's not right. Okay. That's not right.
I thought I had that one right.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't think you do. I don't want to. Maybe I do.
I could have sworn. Could have sworn I did.
So, and there was other video game news now that I forget. It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
Oh, I have
bang, boom.
I have two things, actually, real quick. One, they're... The NCAA might finally pay players for their likeness.
Yes, that's it. And not only that, so that means if they're paying players for their likeness, that means if they're even bothering to put that legislation in place, that means NCAA football is probably coming back.
Yes, there's got to be a chance. That's the best game ever, too.
It's the best game ever, and I will play that 100 times over rather than Madden.
Me too. So fingers crossed that they get that thing done. And then the other thing, Ryan, this is kind of old news, but I've seen so many of the like bloopers on Twitter, but the WWE game is an absolute disaster.
Oh, it's awful. But the glitches are so funny, though.
There's so many glitches and the game is terrible. And then I was even reading reviews. They're like, even besides the glitches, it's a trash game. Like it's worse somehow than years past.
I have heard the term unplayable.
Yeah. It's tossed around.
It's been tossed around.
It's mean. It's hard to hear that.
It's not nice. It's not a nice thing to say about anything. But
Ryan, you ready for the topic du jour? Ryan?
I'm sorry.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just kind of out of it. What do you need?
You yawning again?
No, I'm not yawning. No. What do you need?
I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today, it is none other than Troll 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Not Electric Boogaloo.
No, it's just strictly Troll 2.
Yep.
This piece of crap came out in 1990.
Which it seems way later than it should have, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like I would have pegged
early 80s.
Yes, 82 to 85, I would have guessed. So 1990, mm-hmm. It's 1 hour and 34 minutes long. On Rotten Tomatoes, it got a 6%.
That's a siace for all of us.
Well, honestly, it seems a little high. It seems like one of the critics are just having fun with it. It deserves a zero.
It does.
And 44% by the audience, which we'll get into that.
Yeah.
There's a cult following. The current IMDb score is 2.9. But at one point, and again, that's because it has established itself as a cult movie. It's almost like Plan 9 for Outer Space, where once you're told a movie is so bad, it has fans. So that's just the way it is. But at
Battlefield Earth is the same way. Yeah.
At one point on IMDb, where it's just all fan and user ratings, this was the worst movie of all time.
Which, rightfully so.
It deserves that.
What is the worst movie rated on IMDb right now?
Now, it might be that Kronos something, Kronos of Fate or whatever. They did it on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, Manos, Hand of Fate.
Is it Manos?
Manos, yeah, which is Hand, you know?
Hand. So that one I know is bad. It's
right now, it's actually Disaster Movie. 2008, remember they had like Scary Movie and then they had like Date Movie.
Oh, wow.
Disaster Movie is a 1.9.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's low. So Troll 2 is rocking a 2.9. But again, there's so many fans that probably go in there because they know and they do a hit of 10. So it moved it up a little bit. But regardless, this movie also, I think you could do the Troll 2 challenge. And that challenge, Ryan, would be you and a couple of buddies, you have one day to write, film, and produce a movie. Could you do better than this?
One day?
You have one day to make a movie.
And it has to be I don't think I can make an hour and a half movie in a day.
You have the weekend. I'm giving you a holiday weekend.
Give me a weekend, and is the script written?
Nope.
So start to finish.
I have a feeling this script wasn't written either.
I have a script. Yeah, but like if I had like an idea and like actors. And
you get, it's you.
From scratch, from like conception to finish in a weekend.
You, two buddies, and an iPhone. I guarantee.
Maybe.
Ready for this? Here's your answer. This might be a little bit of a, a thinker. You have, it'll be better, but it won't be better.
And here's my issue with that bet. If you said you could shoot a movie in a weekend, but you had like a week to edit it, then I know I could do it.
Yeah, like so you complete it. You complete shooting.
Like we're done shooting and then editing if I had like a week or two.
Maybe.
I could do it.
That's true. Because this, what did they say? Was this 3 weeks? It was like three weeks. Obviously it was filmed before. They filmed it in 3 weeks, but they wrote it and then they did whatever else.
Wrote it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very loose script here.
Ryan, let me ask you a question that we always ask when we do these movies. And this will be all spoilers because whatever. You've either seen it or you haven't. And it doesn't matter. Even if we tell you everything, if you want to see it, you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
In the way that I really enjoy going to bad high school talent shows.
Okay.
I love that, by the way.
Yeah.
I love sitting in bad high school talent shows.
Yeah.
You know, so in that way, that like kind of like cringe humor kind of thing.
Yes.
I really do.
And so we will get into, which gives another whole, it shines another whole light on it, is the documentary about this movie called Best Worst Movie, which you learn a lot more about the actors involved, the director and everything else. But we're going to kind of separate the two. We're going to first just by start talking about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I certainly, when you see like the cult following that it has, I'm nowhere near like that. Like I don't need to watch that movie a bunch of times. I really don't.
I've seen it a handful of times and I'm like, I'm good with that. Whereas like if someone wanted to sit down and watch The Room, I would watch that all the time.
Yeah. I could
if someone
that,
wanted to sit down and watch like Army of Dark, the first Evil Dead, I'll watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just cause it's what other movie I love like that is UHF.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I love UHF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, this movie, Ryan, has a rare distinction where it is called Troll 2, but it is not the sequel to Troll.
Not only that,
troll is never mentioned in the movie.
They don't even have any trolls in the movie.
There are no trolls. The word troll's never said, and there never are no said. Trolls.
Yeah.
That's like like the old Linda Richman joke. Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island. Discuss.
Yeah.
It's like Troll 2. So is that the sequel to Troll? No.
No.
So, but there, oh, it must be like a reimagining with Troll. No.
No. They're goblins.
There's goblins.
Yeah.
There's goblins, Ryan. The movie opens with a dude being chased through the woods by a bunch of, as it turns out, goblins.
Yeah.
How would you describe the costumes?
He's got this kind of like Robin Hood, like this like ghetto ass Robin Hood costume running around. And he's got, so these goblin masks are awful. And they basically just wrapped a bunch of these like tiny dudes in like burlap sacks.
Yeah. It's like kind of rubbery.
Yeah.
Like eyes, and just they all got like little, like it's Ewok esque, but obviously, yes. But like way worse. Like,
so
way
similar,
worse
similar challenge to you. If I gave you a good amount of papier mache,
yeah,
and told you to make masks for my,
yeah,
and give you a weekend to make the mask for the goblins out of papier mache,
could
you do it?
100%. I could. I might need the help or tutelage of my mom, who was an elementary school art teacher for many, many years.
And so she's familiar with the medium.
Yes. We've actually, yeah. We've done masks before, so mm-hmm. I could do it and they would look better than that.
Yep.
So as it turns out, and we'll get to the guy in the woods in a second, but Joshua is a young boy and he is being told this story by his grandfather, Seth.
Yes.
Who turns out is dead. And is the ghost version is talking to Joshua. That's fine.
Which it's fine. This like another super weird Princess Bride kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get the guy in the woods when the goblins catch up to him, Ryan.
Yes.
He then ends up spilling this green stuff out of his face.
It's like green Kool-Aid out of his
just
face.
Looks like Kool-Aid, just kind of pussing all out.
Yeah. He's got a lot of ecto cooler games. It looks like ecto cooler. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Now you got the girl. So Joshua's sister, Holly,
mm-hmm.
She's in her room and her boyfriend, Elliot, comes over.
She's working out. She's getting a pump in.
She's wearing what you would see in like those Kiana Flex Appeal type videos.
Yeah,
or not even, or but like the 80s ones, like the 80s
yeah,
ones.
Like the jazzercise outfit. Yeah.
She has a full bench press in her small bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and she's just ripping reps.
Just, yeah.
Now, she's probably 90 pounds.
Yes.
Right? Like, she does not look like somebody who lifts weights.
No.
But she's crushing weights. Her boyfriend sneaks in. It's kind of eerily similar to the Sydney Billy scene from Scream.
Sure is. And just the worst type of dialogue.
Dialogue is awful, and let's be honest, God bless both their hearts for being in this movie, but it's the worst acting to this point you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, and this point, she punches him in his Johnson.
Yeah.
She kicked him in the Johnson, funky right. boy.
Downstairs.
And he says to her, what are you trying to make me a homo?
Right.
Which, I'm just quoting the movie at this point. And then she delivers a line.
And I also don't think that would do that.
No, that's not how that works.
No.
And not to get into but I love what the director was saying in the documentary about like, I know how American teenagers talk.
Right, because the girl didn't want to say the line about
cutting your little nuts off or something. Yeah.
Feeding them or something. And she's like, I don't want to say that. And he's like, that's how teenagers talk. And like, don't know.
Like,
so to be fair to this girl, she was not given any good dialogue.
No.
But the way she talks, it is straight out of like if there was a high school play where where everybody got a part.
Yep.
Like there are no cuts. There's no audition. Everybody just shows up here, everybody has a line. That's how you would hear it. That's how you would deliver the lines.
Yes, absolutely.
It's uncanny. And so what we find out here, also Elliot needs his boys with him at all times.
All the time. He's a bro. Him and his bros, bro.
He is a bro guy. They even climb up the ladder and peek their head in and want to hang out. So like he can't even get like 2 minutes alone with his girlfriend.
Which that's weird.
But also the dialogue is so insane at this part because they're like fighting and then they basically like make up and they're fine, and the tone never changes for either one.
No, it's just completely flat.
The tone or the facial expressions stay the exact same, and you're like, wait a minute, is she messing with him? Or no, she's taking him back, and he's like, I'm gonna go on this trip with you. And what you find out is her family is doing like a house swap.
Yeah, it's like wife swap, but they're like, they're all going.
They're all going.
There was no Airbnb at this point, but they're doing like this program where they do like a house swap.
Yeah, and they were like super excited because the dad was like, I always wanted to be a farmer.
Right. In Nilbog.
Nilbog. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Keep that under your hat for a minute. So the kid continues to see his grandfather a little bit. Joshua does. So the family shows up for the wife, the old family swap. I mean, not wife swap, family swap. And the kid... You'll notice Josh was very attentive. He could notice things. They all have a certain mark on them, the whole family. And they're all kind of acting like robots, by the way.
Yep.
They're all very like... And they all have like little... Would you like little clovers kind of on them?
Little clovers?
Little clovers.
Yeah, little clovers on them.
And basically it's like a mirror family. So it's like a dad, a mom, and then it's an older sister and a younger son.
The clovers look like fucking like gross skin tags.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
they look like skin tags.
That's something that like the obese people have like under their armpit. You know what I mean?
I know what a skin tag is.
You know what a skin tag is? Yeah,
yeah. Actually, do you want to hear something really gross?
Yes, I do.
So I had a skin tag once, and you know how you get it off? There's a whole bunch of rumors out there. Like,
no, there's like an acid that you burn it off, right?
That doesn't work. Doesn't work. You want to get nuts?
Yeah.
You tie a piece of floss around it. Tighten it super and tight and just no, just wait. It cuts off the blood, eventually just comes off.
You know, no shit.
Yeah. Tight.
Where was it, by the way? Was it in that spot?
No, it was on my leg.
Odd.
Yeah. That was weird. No, it was not my armpits.
Yeah.
So the kid for the like the zombie kid basically.
Mm-hmm.
Before he leaves, he throws a ball to Joshua.
Yes.
And on the ball, it's written, eat before we eat you. And Joshua just throws the ball away. It like goes back in the house.
Like thinks nothing of it. He's just like, okay.
Kind of a red flag to me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a narc. I'm not a like, rat, Ryan.
I'm not a snitch.
I would have said something like, you guys want to see this?
Like, this is what this kid just threw at me.
Yeah.
Like, he just threw this at me. Like, so, maybe we discuss this, yeah.
So then they go inside to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously hungry. They just went all the way to Nilbog from
amazing
the
scene.
From.
My favorite scene in the movie.
That's saying something.
Yeah.
First of all of the food looks fucking disgusting.
Disgusting.
And I think it's supposed to, but it just does. So there's everything's green. Green all over everything. And it's like in the sandwiches. It's on like the every kind of piece of food. And it's like the over-aggressive like... food coloring and stuff. It looks like they're eating Play-Doh. It's just so gross.
It's like these weird throughout the movie. Jesus Christ, what is
Ryan's gonna take a snooze?
There's like these weird donuts with like green frosting on them, like throughout the movie.
I can't eat snacks and watch this movie because it's like
no, it's disgusting.
It's that gross.
Yeah.
So the grandfather once again appears to Joshua and he's like making it very clear to him. He's like, you can't let them eat. Like this is you cannot let them eat. So he somehow gains the Zach Morris ability to freeze time. And then how does Joshua get them to not eat it? Stands up on the table and pisses all over the food.
I mean, that'll make him not eat it. You know?
Yes. Yes. So Ryan, then that leads to the father, Michael, being very upset and grabbing young Joshua. And do you remember what he says to Joshua?
I remember exactly what he says. He says to Joshua, you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it. Which is one of the best delivered lines. And then he's like, and then it gets super creepy because he starts like fussing with his belt.
Yeah.
And the kid goes, what are you going to do to me, daddy? Just like that. Ugh. Like, I'm not being creepy. Like, that's what he says.
You delivered
the line better than you did. I'm tightening my belt loop. Another thing so I can stay, like, keep away the hunger pains. I know what it's like to go hungry. I'm like, well, why would you tighten your belt? Doesn't make any sense.
Crazy. But that might be, there's a lot of quotes in here, but that's probably the number one quote from Troll 2.
That's one of the good ones.
You can't piss on hospitality.
I won't allow it.
So then you get one of Elliot's friends. So basically, Elliot's friends have taken like an RV. They're going out to Nilbog as well. His friend Arnold finds a frightened girl in the woods. He then confronts dwarves who hit him with a stick in the shoulder. And you're like, all right. So they,
and that does him in completely. That's him. That's done.
Yeah,
him.
he's no good.
Yeah.
So he and the girl then take off and they find a chapel. They come across a druid witch named Credence Leonore Gillood, who uses Stonehenge magic to turn them into trees or whatever.
Yep. And she's got some teeth.
What do you think of her though? Smooch?
I would not steal a smooch.
What about
maybe
later?
She brought an ear? We'll get into that. Yep.
When she transforms, that's still a smooch.
She transforms, and there is a scene that she,
yes,
food play.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I thought she kind of she was doing it for me a little bit, the druid witch.
What are you talking about?
Just a little bit. Also, a really good delivered line because so the druid witch can, like, again, she turns people into trees, because as you're going to find out here, Ryan, everybody, they only eat trees and plants.
It's supposed to be like this metaphor for, you know, being a vegetarian or some shit like that.
The goblins are vegetarians.
Yes.
They're all vegetarians. So Arnold, this is fantastic. At one point he says, they're eating her, then they're going to eat me. Oh my God.
And now would you like me to do my best?
Yeah.
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God. How was that? Pretty good.
That's fantastic. And we use that. We use the gif of the oh, my God, I think, for the when we're tweeting out about the episode.
And again, that kid had just delivering that line, just a dead face.
Does it? Yeah. He's literally watching somebody he just met be eaten.
That or garbage day?
I think this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Garbage day. I love that line too. What movie was that from?
No idea.
I'll find it.
No idea.
But keep going.
So Drew is one of Elliot's other buddies. He's jogging into town.
Sorry, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That is a film also. Yeah. So another one of Elliot's buddies, he's jogging into town because he's got to get food. He gets picked up by the cops, right? But not in like a bad way, more of like, oh, I'll give you a ride into town.
Yeah.
The cop gives him a green hamburger, which looks fucking gross again. Like, he wouldn't eat it.
And he talks about how good it is. He eats it and he's like, ooh, it's good.
Yeah. Then it all goes to shit. He then gives him some Nilbog milk.
It looks turned. It looks like it's seen better days, the Nilbog milk.
It looks awful.
Yeah.
The whole thing looks absolutely terrible. So then they end up at the chapel again, and the dude Arnold gets chainsawed, and the guy Drew from before is killed. So they're just like picking off characters now.
They're just picking them off at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Joshua is now staring at a street sign, and he says, he comes to realization. Again, Joshua, very smart.
Joshua's very perceptive.
Very perceptive, Ryan. He says, and again, he kind of screams it, monotone scream, Nilbog is goblin spelled backwards. This is their kingdom.
Right. And he sees it in like a reflection.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's how he pieces it together.
Nilbog.
This is their kingdom. And like, I love the scene, not to go back to the beginning, but the scene like after the mother talks to Joshua about, you're not really seeing your dead grandfather. Like, we all miss him, blah, 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 blah. She gets into bed with the husband and she goes, who are the goblins? Like, you don't know what a goblin is?
Goblins. What do you mean goblins? It's 1990.
Yeah.
You know what a goddamn goblin is?
Seriously.
So now the family, or the family's name is the Waits. So it's like Joshua Wait and Michael and the whole crew. So this druid witch lady, who I kind of might have a thing for, maybe. Put a pin in it. She brings a cake over to the Waits family.
Yes.
And you can imagine how appetizing the cake looks.
It doesn't look good.
Not much.
No.
Not much. She makes a comment to Diana, the mom, that her daughter Holly looks appetizing. And you're like, Like, that's a little bit of an
odd. And there's this whole thing about the daughter and like, didn't she say something? She's not into like threesomes or something like that. She's not into group sex at one point.
Yeah, she does make a comment. Yeah. Like, an unnecessary comment about that. And you're like, fair enough. So then Holly actually finds Elliot and she tells, she's like, all right, listen, because he's there messing around with all of his friends. She's like, you gotta choose me or your friends. And he's like, I don't get it. And so she punches him square in the face, drops him.
And so a lesson to all the guys, all you young cats out there who are looking for a girlfriend. If a girl ever says that to you, run.
Yeah.
Run.
She'll punch you. She'll suck you right in the mouth.
No, it'll punch you, but you don't want that smoke. You don't want that kind of action.
No. So no. Joshua stumbles upon like this big weird gathering in town. Like they're all there and they're all like listening because like the priest guy.
Yes.
They're all listening to him. So then they catch Joshua because Joshua's skateboard falls through. He's like hiding and like the skateboard makes noise. So they find him.
Yeah, it's like, what? Bring that stupid ass skateboard, fucking poser.
And then they grab him and they basically try to force him to eat ice cream.
I'm just going to say this too. I bet you that kid can't even kickflip, fucking poser.
No, no chance.
Yeah.
Benihana, never.
Never.
No melon.
No melon air. No.
Right. So Elliot does decide he's going to go with Holly. So they get back to the house. The whole town is now there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole town is at the Waits house. They're clapping, they're singing, and they're all just eating and drinking all this green shit, which is just awful. So Joshua goes to the mirror and he's like, hey, grandpa, like I need your help. But instead, a goblin jumps out of the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, Ryan, Grandpa Seth does show up, pulls an axe out, and cuts the goblin's hand off,
which then
actually turns out to be the druid witch.
Which cuts her hand off, even though she's not in like the same room. It's very strange.
No.
Yeah.
And then so there's still like all these people over there. So Grandpa looks at Josh and is like, you know what we need to do? We need to throw a fucking Molotov cocktail into this house.
That's the only way we're going to get shit done is if we burn this mother to the ground.
Yeah. So they have a Molotov cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to fire that son of a bitch in there. And then the priest, who was the one that was leading that thing in the town, he shows up. Takes the Molotov cocktail. He then somehow is able to summon Grandpa Seth to hell. But Grandpa Seth then sends a lightning bolt to the priest who's still holding the Molotov cocktail. So then he burns to death.
Yes.
Or does he? Turns out he's a goblin, which I would ask you, Ryan, is that the first M. Night Shyamalan twist? Of the
that movie? Is. I mean, this was made before The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Shyamalan definitely bit a lot from this movie.
I think he watched it, studied it, took notes on it. The druid witch then does a spell to herself, and I didn't think it could happen. Gets even hotter than she was before.
Oh, she gets she turns into a smoke with those
she's a minx.
That garter and the stockings there.
It's a little old school, but you know it's not bad. So she goes to the RV, Ryan, and she seduces.
That there's an RV.
She seduces Elliot's friend Brent with corn. Corn on the cob.
Well, corn on the cob action.
Yep. Corn on the old
little food
cob.
Play. And then assuming they're making whoop, not to be gross, but it seems as though people off camera just start throwing handfuls of popcorn at them.
Yeah, that's what it appeared. That's what appeared on my end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was submerged in corn
by the end. Yeah, I don't know what the metaphor is there, but
not sure. The family's holding a seance to try to get Grandpa back, but Joshua somehow ends up in the chapel fighting off goblins. He sees his grandpa again, who gives him a secret weapon. Ryan,
you get of course because you need to.
And so the druid witch and the goblins corner Joshua, who pulls out the secret weapon, which happens to be. A double-decker bologna sandwich.
Because they don't eat meat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone garbage meat.
Yep.
So they all freak out. He eats the sandwich, and so now he's immune to them, I guess.
Makes sense.
I think.
Yeah.
So then the rest of the family, I don't know, they like think positive thoughts. It's kind of like It Chapter 2. They think positive thoughts. Or some shit. They touch the stone. They destroy the bad guys, I think.
It's
at this point, it's a little confusing, if I'm being honest. Right? Do you get anything on this?
I got nothing on this. Nothing. I have no what this doesn't make any sense. Like this, no, I got nothing on this.
So the Wade family then goes back to their real home. The for some reason they get home and the first thing the mom does is just like crush an apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really get.
I don't get that either.
So the dad's like, I got to go to the office. And you're like, you just experienced all of the stuff.
Yeah. They're like, this is a traumatic event. The dad said he has to go to his office. The daughter says she's going to, what's his, Elliot's house. And so it's just the mom and the kid in the house.
Right.
And the kid's like, I'm going to go crush a nap. And she's like, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But I'm going to shower first.
Yeah. And then he goes back downstairs. Joshua goes back downstairs and goblins are eating his mom.
Yep, because she ate the apple, you know, and that somehow just did her in, you know.
Yeah, so I don't. They were saying that. I guess the point was like that they had left that food there. That's like implied, like when they did the swap.
I guess, but
you know what it is?
Fruits and vegetables. What's that?
It asked the question. Troll 3.
Did we ever get a Troll 3? I hope we do at some point.
But I think they're at least setting it up for that.
They were trying to.
Yeah.
You know?
They're at least setting it up for that. That's Troll 2.
That's Troll 2 in a nutshell. And that's, honest to God, we didn't make any of that up and we didn't gloss over anything.
No.
That's just how that movie went.
It's, I think, to simplify, it is a movie without trolls. It is not the sequel to Troll. So certainly not the second Troll. It is about vegetarian goblins.
Yes.
Who want to eat people, but they have to turn the people into trees first. That's it.
I don't know where we go from here. That's just the way it is. And again, regarded as the worst movie ever, I think it's up there. I don't think it's the worst movie I've ever seen. I mean, it's one of those movies where I enjoy how bad it is.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody... Not to segue too quickly into what we're going to talk about next.
But oh, yeah, go ahead.
It's everybody who was involved in this seemed to be, at least seemed to enjoy the experience, except for one person.
Yes. Well,
we'll talk about him. We'll talk about him later.
I do think
that was one
people,
of the most fascinating scenes. So what we're talking about is after Troll 2 was made, and very recently, actually, there was a documentary called Best Worst Movie.
Yeah, 2009.
2009. And the documentary kind of goes through kind of the making of Troll 2 and how it has come to have this huge cult following.
Right.
And what's interesting is it's actually directed by the man now who played Joshua in the movie.
Yes.
Which is fascinating because, like, nobody knows who he is. I think that's the most fascinating thing about the documentary is that everyone they talk to from the cast has no idea who he is.
Oh, my God. They have the one scene. We didn't even really get into the guy, but there was, like, a store clerk.
The store clerk. That's my favorite scene in the documentary.
He's terrifying looking. And it's funny how he talks about how he got the role because you see him and you're like, oh, this guy's perfect casting because he looks... It's like a psychopath.
Yeah, and turns out he was because they gave him a weekend pass from a mental institution to go film this movie.
And what does he say about the kid?
He wanted to, like, there was a scene where they were trying to feed him ice cream and he hated the kid and he wanted to, like, take the food that they were trying to feed him and just, like, cram it down his mouth and kill him.
Yeah. He was like, I hated that little kid.
And he says, like, I wanted to kill him.
Yeah. He's like talking to the kid. He doesn't realize.
He's talking to him the entire time. He doesn't know. Yeah.
And so that's amazing. And so the kid talks about, again, the director now. So Joshua is the director. And he talks about, you know, he was a child star. He got a movie. Or not a child star. He's a child actor. Wanted to be a star. Got this movie. Was super excited about the movie. And then saw it for the first time. And it did not go into theaters.
No.
So he saw it. He got it like for Christmas. He saw it.
And that was such a sad story.
Yeah.
Because he got it for Christmas the year after it was made. And he ran to the VHS player to watch it. And he just like hated it.
Hated it so much.
Yeah.
He hated it so much. But they do a really good job in this too, like talking to most of the cast, the director, but also showing you like like these certain pockets where it's become popular. They have a couple of guys from the Upright Citizens Brigade who like love it, and they help really kind of push it, and they show all these different screenings. And so the guy who played Michael, the main character, the you can't piss on hospitality guy, his name is George Hardy, and you find out he's a dentist in real life.
He was.
Well, no, he is.
No, but didn't he, like, at the end of the movie, like, he said he was going to, like, pursue this shit full-time, like, go to conventions and, like, talk about it?
But so he's kind of all over the place, if you ask me, because at first he's like, and they interview his sister, they interview his mom, and they're all just like, we saw
this
movie.
He's the nicest guy.
Yeah. Nice guy. Everybody loves him. He's in, like, Alabama. Everybody loves him. And they're like, this movie was horrible. Like, this movie was awful. Like, his acting was awful. And they're like, that's not him. That's nothing like him.
Yeah.
But this guy, like, rides the roller coaster because he thought it was a bad movie, but he was starting to get some people calling, because like, it ran on HBO, and like, so people would be like, oh, is that you? You were in that movie? And then all of a sudden he got wind of some of these screenings, and they invited him to screenings. And like, basically, just like the Rocky Horror Picture Show still has like a diehard fan base of people going to see it Friday night at midnight or whatever, Troll 2 has certain screenings like this. And so he went to some of those and like couldn't believe it. He's like, oh my God, people love this movie. But then what he couldn't deal with was he went to like a Comic-Con, he went to like a horror con, and he went to something else where nobody knew who he was and nobody really cared.
And he was like bummed out.
So he was super bummed out. And then he started like make fun of like the other people. And he was just like, oh my God. He's like, I was talking to somebody who was in Nightmare on Elm Street 5, and like, that's all she was in. And like, you're like, what is she doing here? Like, you got nothing better to do. And then he kind of like looked at himself. He's like, well, I guess what do I have better to do? But I think it bummed him out. And what also bummed him out was he tried to get a screening in his hometown.
Oh, and that was pretty pathetic. Like, watching that scene where he's like handing out flyers to people, and he tries to give one to his own like teenage daughter. And he's like, can you put these in your school? And she's like, no, I'm not doing
that. No. And he has four like dental hygienists that work with him, and he's making them call all of the patients to go. And what he completely miscalculated was, this is like a cult following for certain people with certain sense of humor.
Yes.
And you invite your whole town, and they know you, and they just think, oh, you're in a movie. And they're like, oh, this is the worst movie. Because he's even talking to somebody afterwards. He's like, you know, usually when I'm at these screenings, like, people are already laughing like before it happens. Whereas here, they're just all very serious and staring at the thing.
And there was a scene too where it was actually like he was talking to, I think it was one of his patients.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, I haven't seen it. She's like, I knew you were in a movie, but like, I'd never seen it. And he's like, and then he starts like telling her like scene by scene, like what
happened.
And then he's like, and then I say this. And she's like, okay.
How many times did they show him doing the piss on hospitality line to people?
Way too many.
Oh, it was sad.
Way too many.
Because at first you're like, the way he was describing it, you're like, oh, this guy's kind of in on it. Like, he knows it's a bad movie. He tells everybody it's the worst movie, but it's kind of like, he's okay. Like, he's laughing with other people.
Right.
Right? But then it's like, he's not like that, because he's constantly talking about the line and telling people they're missing out. Like, how have you not seen Troll 2? You're like, dude, people, not everybody's seen Troll 2.
Not everyone likes that kind of movie. Like, it's just kind of, and it's kind of sad, because, you know, he's just kind of like, once he got a taste of like people cheering for him, I think that was like,
that's
addicting to him. And he's like, I want more of that.
Yeah. But he does like a 180. Well, actually, he technically does a 360 in this, because at one point he goes around and he's like, you know, I mean, how many times can I say that same line all the time? It's like, first of all, I shouldn't say that. They did ask him at some of the screenings.
The first couple times. Yeah. The one in New York, they were asking him to say it. And
but he's like, how often can I do that? But then at the end, they're like, if there was a Troll 3, would you be in it? And he was like, yes, I would. He's like, of course I would.
How about the woman who played the mom, too? Like, that was
Margot.
Yeah, Margot's not doing so well.
No. And this is one where, like, it's hard to watch, actually. You know what I mean?
It is.
And maybe I'm just I'm softer than I once was. But you know what it reminded me of? It was straight out of a Christopher Guest movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Her talking about how she can't leave the house to go to the screening because it's complicated, and it's very complicated. And then she's taking care of her mom, which God bless her for that. But then she's going on, like, she still wants to act. And, like, when they first asked, like, oh, what are you up to? She's like, well, I don't have an agent anymore, but I did have an agent. And they're like, okay. And she's just like, oh, man, it's sad. she's not right.
Not, no, and no, it was she, not. It was not good.
She at one point, Ryan, again, this is the mom of the movie,
mm-hmm.
who is like the only one that they never got to go to any of the things, but she does appear in this documentary for like a little bit. She, with a straight face, compares Troll 2 to Casablanca.
Yes, because it's about humans and human emotions.
Yep.
She says she's dead serious.
Not much separates their work from Katharine Hepburn and Humphrey Bogart.
And she's dead serious.
She uses those names. And dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
And she says the last scene, because she knows, unlike the guy, the store clerk guy, she mm-hmm. knows that the director of the documentary was the kid who played her son in the movie. And she's like, when you were crying at the end, like I had felt like you had really lost your mom. Like that was so good.
Yeah.
It's like, it's some of the worst acting you've ever seen.
It's awful. It's awful. But like but that,
that was kind of hard to watch. Oh, the other thing about the store clerk guy, he shows him, he's like in his garage. He has three giant stuffed animals.
Oh, it is, he delivers the best line in the whole documentary.
He goes, if they ran for office, they'd get my vote.
He's like, these are my people.
Yeah,
and just three stuffed animals. They ran for office, they get my vote. I'm like, oh.
He's like, you can tell a lot by the people they hang out with or something like that. And he like looks at these three giant stuffed animals. They're like kind of in boxes. I'm like, God damn it. Like, I hope that guy doesn't hurt somebody.
Oh, God, yeah. Weekend furlough from a unbelievable.
Man. Also, unbelievable shit. Grandpa Seth.
Yeah.
They show him. He's just at home watching Family Guy. He was actually decent in the movie. But he says at one point, talk about sad. And you're like, what am I watching? Like, because he had some good stuff. He was actually pretty funny. Like, he was joking about it. He's like, I love bad movies. He's like, I always hoped I'd be in a bad movie. And now I'm in the worst movie. So, like, he had, like, a sense of humor about it. So you're laughing. And then all of a sudden, Ryan, he hits you with, nope, no children, no grandchildren, no great-grandchildren. Really, I just wasted my life.
And you're just like,
ugh. Oh. Ugh. Yo, Grandpa Seth.
Grandpa Seth. Not good.
What do you think about the director?
The director and his wife were, and again, so out of touch with just like kind of what, because he had this idea that this movie was like a metaphor for like something that like, it was the most backwards, stupid thing.
Yeah, because his wife wrote it.
And she was talking about how she wrote it. Like a lot of her friends were turning into vegetarians and she didn't want to. And they were going crazy about it. And it was just nonsense.
What's also crazy about it is, all of the actors, in fact, the girl who played Holly, who grows up to be also Steal a Smooch City.
Oh, yeah.
But she is like an actual actress now.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have Troll 2 on her resume.
Like, no, she mentioned that she took it off.
She purposely took it off. And she's like, this was just so embarrassing. And it's like such a bad movie. But the director is the only one who thinks it's good because all of the actors like hated it.
He's not going to back down, though.
No, he doesn't at all, which is actually pretty crazy. And like, even when they get him to go to like some of these panel talks, mm-hmm. and all of like the actors are talking about, they're like, "Yeah, we didn't even see the script, and like we didn't know what's going on." And he's like in the background, being like, "You're wrong. You didn't know. You're wrong." And you're like, "What?"
Yeah.
He also, actually, it's really everybody who made the movie, because they also interviewed an editor from Italy as well,
mm-hmm.
and he said, again, similar to Margo in the Casablanca, he says, Ryan, people weren't ready for this film. This film came out too soon. He goes, if it came out now, people would respect it more because Harry Potter.
Bet. Bet. Remake it.
I mean, the same people. Holy smokes. But that guy was crazy.
No, but I think that I like the documentary more than I like the actual movie. I like seeing, you know, just kind of like this cult following with it. And
actually, it's a good point. And if you only have time to watch one, they're both on that Tubi app or whatever. Tubi.
You love Tubi. You've been plugging Tubi. Tubi's got free, start sending us some money or something.
They got free stuff though.
Yeah.
If you can only watch one, watch the documentary, because the documentary actually shows a ton of scenes from the movie, like straight
up. And the good
up.
Ones. And the good ones. Yeah.
So you get a sense of it. And they're both probably about the same amount of time. They're both like 90 minutes.
Yeah. And you don't need to watch the movie. You don't. This is really one of those bad movies where like you have to watch it. Like you don't.
No. I think I actually watched the documentary before I watched the movie.
I did not. I did not. But I had forgotten a lot of the movie.
Or did I? I forget. That was I specifically remember it was back when Netflix, when you'd get the DVDs in the mail. I remember I got them, and I think I got this first, and then I'm like, I might as well watch the Troll 2, and I did that. But anything else from the documentary?
No, it's good. I would say watch the documentary. It was one of my favorites the year it came out, so definitely check that out.
It was good. Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan, we say we get to the old pick of the podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
All right, the kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
I will defer.
I will receive, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I am reading right now Harrow County. I Instagrammed out the cover, volume one, volume two of Harrow County. Thanks to Backcracker, Dr. Joe. Let me borrow those issues. Really good, especially for Dorktober. It's a horror comic. It kind of involves like a witch and like kind of like witchcraft type of thing and like this county and all this stuff going on. It's not the same, but it has like a little of a lock and key type of feel to it, if you ask me. But if you're looking for a horror type of comic, I would check out Harrow County.
Harrow County.
Harrow, like just like my dog. Harrow.
Just like your dog. Just like your dog.
Deputy dog.
Let's see. Pick of the pod for me this week. It's kind of tough. Like I watched a bunch of stuff. I will say, you know, Silicon Valley is back. I watched the first episode last night. It's pretty good. It's the last season, so I'm in on that. So if you guys are Jin Yang is up to some stuff.
Oh, good. And Jared, yet, but I will.
And Jared is completely off the rails, which is good.
Perfect.
So I'm hopeful that they're going to wrap this up. And, you know, I've been frustrated with the show in the past because I'm just like, every time something's going well for them, I'm like, how are they going to fuck this up?
Mm-hmm.
And they might actually do it for good this time. They might actually fuck this up for good. So check out Silicon Valley. And yeah, that's it for me.
Perfect. Ryan, next week, are you ready?
I'm Rick not. And Morty? I'm not, but I have to watch all of Rick and Morty again. Three seasons of Rick and Morty. I'm fine with that.
That's right.
I'm fine with that.
Because Rick and Morty season four, at least the first half of season four, is coming out in early November. So we will finally do the Rick and Morty episode.
Thank God.
I am looking forward to that.
Yep.
Ryan, you can rate, review, and subscribe to Hashtag Dork on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
I was going to say, make sure you say plug the Instagram.
And Instagram and YouTube as well. Ryan, anything you want to personally say to the people?
You to them? No. No, there's no PSAs today. But I will say again that Movember is starting this week. So make sure to watch out for that. Watch out for some links for me. If you guys want to get involved, if you want to participate, let me know. The next time you see me on this podcast, I will look vastly different. I will shed this cocoon and become the beautiful butterfly I was always meant to be.
Thank God, Ryan. Thank you so much for that.
No problem.
We should probably try to stream a Friday the 13th. Gameplay.
Yes, we should do that by the next couple days. Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it. Everybody, just take care of yourselves out there, and head on a swivel out there. Have fun. Do your best. Right.
Eat your vegetables.
If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah. don't know how to end a show.
I don't know. What do you do? How do you do it?
Not sure what to do with my hands.
We had so many episodes where they would end just fine. Now
we lost it.
You could yawn again.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.